as propaganda peddlers. So I try to have a fair and balanced approach to understanding things, and all I can say is I am in full support of these protests. Black Lives Matter, you know, I'm part of the San Francisco Cop Watch. Back in the day, back in the late 90s, that was my first start in activism. I don't know if you've ever seen that guy, Von Jones, something like that. He's on TV a lot nowadays. But anyway, he used to kick it at the office when I first showed up. And police violence and police murder is real. And it is an epidemic. And it is systematic. And I can see why the people feel like they don't want to sit this one out, regardless of which experts they listen to. You see a lot of healthcare professionals out there and everything doing the marches too and saying this is very important. In the history of that. So I just want to say I love the movement. I love the fact that the people have, you know, emerged, you know, for this push for change. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I know that there's a focus about the gathering this year, and I didn't want to stray too far from that. Just wanted to say safety and protection for everybody who's out there in the streets protesting, you know, building the peace, and hopefully it will lead to some really wonderful reforms. And then going forward to the gathering, you know, this year, this is obviously way different than 2015 was in South Dakota, which was the most contested gathering that I have ever attended. My first gathering was 97 in Oregon, which was fantastic and huge and wonderful. And so the one in South Dakota, I was really on the fence with, you know, because I have a lot of friends, you know, throughout the years, including my beloved uncle who was murdered by the police. He was from Standing Rock, and he was a Dakota Sioux man who was one of my best friends, my uncle, and like that. And we built sweat lodges at Rainbow Gatherings. I used to help him with that several years. I believe the last Idaho gathering, we built a lodge there. So I would only build it with him, you know, and support the traditional people. And so I knew that he was, since he had passed on, that he would have had a lot to say leading up to that gathering in terms of his love for our family and whether it should happen or not. And upon hearing stuff on the internet and, you know, Facebook mainly, there were some people who were really politicking, for lack of a better term, against the idea of that gathering happening. And even saying that the people that were going to go to that gathering were bad. And, you know, there was a vilification that was taking place. And it was heartbreaking to see, because I didn't know what to do. And I felt like, well, if it is going bad, then maybe I should show up to shut it down, or I should, you know, go see for myself. And then finally, we heard from Chase Iron Eyes. He put out that statement welcoming the Rainbow family to come out and seeing the benefit of us as allies in regards to standing in solidarity with and supporting the Lakota Nation in their efforts to regain the sacred Black Hills for their people. So that lit a fire under my butt right quick, and I loaded up and I went out there. And as some of y'all know that are on this call, that gathering was fantastic. It was amazing. It was very, very small, and it was very, very special. A lot of bonds were made. A lot of beauty was made. So I think that there's probably some speculation in terms of, you know, what kind of information are we getting from the internet compared to what kind of information we're getting from the land. I believe in 2015, the gathering was split to Michigan, and then when we sat in council, I know some of y'all were in that vision council as well, because I remember your names and your faces and your voices, that the Michigan gathering, rather, sent proxy to the gathering in the Black Hills to support whatever consensus we would arrive to in regards to where to gather next year upon our vision council, which was beautiful. So it had this sense of resolve too, and like, it wasn't like a long split that, like, you know, carried a lot of feelings. I'm sure other people still think it was a bad idea, and they might hear my version of the story, and I'd encourage them to watch the documentary on YouTube, Black Hills Rainbow Gathering. I think it's a 5-part series shot by a good brother of ours. And, security culture, just a quick note on that. Being with Earth First, North Coast Earth First in particular, working with, you know, Julia Butterfly and all them around that time, late 90s to early 2000s, building tree villages and whatnot. Security culture meant this to us, that our organization was very large, so we would break ourselves into affinity groups, which is very similar to how the kitchens happen in rainbow gatherings, and camps happen in gatherings, that people have the most, you know, affinity with each other. They form groups, and then we all operate under the same umbrella. And then in terms of security culture with our direct action, we would only share the information on the actions that we were planning within our own affinity groups, and the only other people who that information was given to was on a need-to-know basis. So I think that's pretty much the foundation of security culture, from my understanding, is that you don't give people information upon what you're doing unless they really need to know. So I love y'all, and I know that was awful. I probably rambled on for too long. So let me go ahead and get myself to the side. When's to the side?
Thank you for that four wins. I think I was in that council that you were talking about, actually. Is there anyone else on the stack that wants to speak right now? That might have called in, or does anyone want to talk about what Four Winds just said? I had a person call into the station, but I need to give them the number to the conference call. But if someone wants to talk while I get him set up.
Finch here. I'd like to just do a little spot just for those of us just joining us. To those of you just tuning in, you welcome to MutinyRadio.fm. You are listening to Always Free, which is a live radio show and podcast about the Rainbow Gathering. And if you would like to listen to future episodes of Always Free Radio, you can hear them on MutinyRadio.fm every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Also, if you want to hear more podcasts by like-minded Rainbow Gathering-related people, you can subscribe to Muddy Boots by Tenali, and you can subscribe to Let This Podcast Run Your Life by our very own Vermin Supreme, a fledgling podcast which just premiered 3 weeks ago. And finally, you can subscribe to Diamond Dave's podcast right here on MutinyRadio.fm under the name Common Thread Collective. And if you want to sign up to subscribe to this podcast using whatever podcast subscriber you use, you can go to MutinyRadio.fm and find the podcast labeled Clem's Castaways and click on the RSS link, which should give you the ability to directly subscribe to this podcast.
Thanks, Finch, for that. So, yeah, we had a caller into the station. They're going to call into the conference call, but I don't think they've called in yet. So thanks for that plug. So for anyone listening, who wants to speak next? We didn't start a stack, but we can. We haven't heard from Sunshine in a bit. Or Thomas. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I had to call back in, though.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, do you want to talk about whatever we were talking about? Do you want to talk about anything on your mind?
I'm just sitting here.
You asked about, you asked about, oh, you asked about activism, and we had someone at the station talk about the protest he was at. Did you catch that? Did you catch Pancake's story?
Not all of it, but I caught the tail end of it.
Yeah, I think that was in response to what you said.
Sorry, on a related note about activism, just for a couple of seconds, this is Finch again, and if you would like to help directly provide physical, actual, financial, or any other type of direct aid to some family that are doing feeding at the protests in Sacramento, you can contact me on Facebook. My name is Adam Finch Buxbaum, BUXBAUM, and I can pass along your information to the family on the ground that is doing things.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's really cool that people are doing that for everybody. People need to eat.
Yeah, direct activism.
Hi, guys. I'm back. I'm sorry. I had to deal with some stuff here.
Oh, thanks. Welcome home. Welcome back, Sunshine. I think it's your turn to speak anyway. Violent. We haven't heard from you for a bit. I don't know how much you've heard.
Boots on the ground. Voting with your feet. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that if anyone has any more opinions and thoughts about the idea of consensus with your feet or voting with your feet.
Sure.
And how would that how would that take place?
I've experienced it only once. And I believe that it was at the Montana annual gathering in 2013.
Hang on. Roach, you need to mute yourself again. Novel talking.
I'm pretty sure it was at the Montana gathering. And my recollection is that there were two places up for grabs. One was, I think, closer and also happened to be the site from 2000. And a well-known kitchen decided that they were just going to go to the site. And so they announced to the circle of people who could not agree that they were going. They packed up their school bus. They left. And then more people left. And then that was where the gathering was. And that's my recollection of that. I'm sure other people have different recollections.
I do have a slightly different recollection, actually. I recall that bus loading up, turning on its engine, and for five frantic minutes, people shouting at each other. And then because their hand was forced, I was actually in a circle where a person who had been blocking for a while said, I'm going to block this one more time, and if people call the consensus again after that, then if people don't – what was it? The person who had been blocking called the consensus himself, and the feather flew around the circle really quick because people were afraid that the bus was going to force their decision. And as soon as the consensus was reached, then a certain cantankerous older person got really upset at us because we hadn't waited for him to come back so that he could talk for an hour, and he started trying to videotape all of us who had reached consensus without his permission. But if I recall, there was a very hurried, maybe not perfect, consensus reached there. Pinch to the side.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I wasn't at that one.
That was Montana.
That was a good enough story.
Montana 2000 is the gathering that all of the scouting people like to tell as the last time that Spring Council rushed to a site without any form of consensus.
I don't know that story. I also remember.
I think it had to do with the cops. The cops wouldn't leave the circle, and people didn't want to consent in front of them, so people just whispered in each other's ears, "Follow me," and they all went to the site.
Yeah, I remember getting to that Montana holding camp like 2 weeks before Spring Council. I was there. There was like a bunch of front gate, and there were a bunch of locals, and there was like beef between like the gun-toting locals, the younger kids, and everyone at the gathering, like the drinking section of it. I have a specific memory of Spirit getting drunk with the people at front gate, and at some point they started to pick him up and like toss him back and forth between two of the larger people there, and he was like hooting and hollering and laughing, and it was super weird to see that unaging entity knocking back a snort with the front gate crew. It was wild. It was a wild time. And it rained for so fucking long. Yep, novel to the side.
Yes, four wins here again. That Montana gathering was awesome. I loved that gathering. I remember the drums who played all night, and the sound of the Nighthawks calling in the middle of the night between our drumming. Really, really, really beautiful. I got there pretty early. Before the water line was set up, and put up like a little renegade bliss camp or bliss pit where I was just like boiling water and cleaning water because there wasn't water in yet. And I think just making tea and pancakes and stuff. And it was really, really, really beautiful. I remember a BB gun was out there, right there by the main meadow. People were getting hit with that little BB gun. And I remember large Shantacena issue around that that resolved pretty well. It was a good.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
You were probably there. I don't know if you remember me, Novel, but I remember we rocked out the drums real well together in Montana.
Oh geez, unfortunately, I'm terrible at remembering lots of people from Rainbow. But yeah, that camp was right next to our camp, and I witnessed like a whole different side of it. Obviously, those were worst days for me when I supported things like BB Guns in the Woods and whatnot, and I look back on that embarrassed. But they had my recollection of that is that they had the BB gun in the camp, and very angry, peaceful people, which is indeed an oxymoron, came and like demanded that they be given the BB gun. And there were children. There were like children in that camp who were terrified of all of the extremely angry hippies who were like smashing up into they tore down their wall and everything. And like obviously shouldn't shoot people with BB guns without their consent. Also destroying someone's camp is also pretty not chill. So it was weird to see both of those perspectives. That was a wicked gathering. My friend sliced his foot open really, really bad from that camp, and we had to help him out. That was a wild. That was a wild gathering on all fronts, but it was beautiful.
That was on the third of July.
That's
that
right.
That was a large part of my 3rd of July movie. I recall that incident. My 3rd of July, actually, it started with me deciding I was going to be mellow and take it easy that night, but instead I got the word that my one friend had just had a seizure, so I ran over to go, like, hang out with her and talk her down and calm her down, and then once that long ordeal was over, I went over towards Nick at Night to get a cigarette, and somebody ran up to me with the news that that brother had cut his foot open and that due to some politics between Dirty Kids and hippies, it was a really difficult time they were having getting calm over there, so I had to try and get a medic over to help deal with that situation. And once that situation calmed down a little bit, I went to go take a nice calming night shift at Info, and instead I ended up being there as they manhandled a pedophile that they caught in Kid Village over and told us to babysit him while they ran to the road to let the sheriff's deputies and front gate know that they were about to escort him out. So me and a few other people got to hang out with this. And this is not allegation. This guy was totally a frightening pedophile. We had long conversations with him while we waited. And so then they finally came and got him. But that was my relaxing 3rd of July. It was just one movie after another.
Was Montana the gathering that you and I walked up the front gate at night and we walked by the car where the woman kept laying on the horn? And we were like, should we do something? And we were like, nah. And then we went up to the front, and then when we came back, the LEOs had rolled in, and that was Hitler.
That was Utah. That was Utah.
That was
Hitler.
That was Utah. Definitely, I was there. And that was we learned a valuable lesson that whatever we say on our walkie-talkies, the cops can hear. Because we were sitting there, we heard the honking, we joked about like, oh, someone should cut the wire, and then it stopped. And then as soon as we heard on the radio there was a stabbing, a bunch of LEOs that we saw parked somewhere else started going right for that. And we're like, shit, dude, that was on the walkie-talkies. Like, I remember that was Utah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that was us young kids being reminded that they listened to the radios, because everyone who's done Rainbow Radio for years, like,
yeah, everyone learns their own lessons. I think that we have Mez calling in. Is that you, Mez?
Yes, it is me.
Okay.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hello. So give me about 5 minutes. I'm driving, and so let me just pull in, and I'll be able to have more quiet. So just give me about 3 minutes.
Okay.
You guys keep talking. All right, cool. All right.
We'll put you on
hey, Rose,
a stack.
I have something to say about boots on the ground or voting with your feet.
Yeah.
A little story to
share. Yeah, share your story.
So
you're kind of quiet, Mez. Can you do something with your microphone?
That's not Mez. That's somebody else.
Oh, sorry. Well, you're kind of quiet, somebody else. Can you do something with your microphone?
Yeah, the boots on the ground. We want to hear about it.
in 2018 was kind of a kind of a crazy year for Kitua.
Oh, it's
and,
Joy.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's Joy. And so we had consensus at Spring Council, and what was odd about that was, for me in observing it, was that we had a consensus, but there seemed to be a lot of people that were silent or consensed that really didn't feel that way. And so there was still a lot of sort of contention or you know, dissension. A lot of people felt strongly one way or the other that they didn't want to consent to take the kitchen to Georgia. But in a full, you know, council, we did it. And so when we showed up, there were still a lot of people that really felt strongly that it wasn't safe, and they wanted to revisit the consensus. And they got really scared in the beginning of seed camp, and pulled out and decided to go somewhere else. They called a conference call to discuss it, and I wasn't able to attend that conference call because I was on the land and out of cell reception, although got plenty of reports back from other people. But basically it was said that, you know, we need to support consensus and we need to support the people that have already shown up. But there was still such a strong group of people that just by themselves individually felt that it wasn't safe, and they personally weren't going. There were enough of them that they decided to have a solstice celebration in the northern part of our region. And we even had a little bit of trouble with some of our kitchen equipment showing up because of this dissension and questioning back and forth of whether certain people were going to honor that consensus. And I tell you, for myself, it was a bit scary in the beginning for me too. Like especially when, you know, people started leaving and saying they weren't coming, and that, you know, we may not even get some of our kitchen equipment, and plus just, you know, the reality of the situation that, you know, the people that were showing up with dark windows and you know, and it was awful. It was scary. I'll just say that. But that was a real thing for me that I saw of voting with your feet and involving a consensus process and how individuals react to certain things and like how a family or how a, you know, a group handles that, you know, in the following years. And what ended up happening from my observation is that, you know, a lot of us supported those that felt that it wasn't safe to come to Georgia, and we supported their gathering and celebrating the solstice in another place. I don't ever think I heard it once come up, you know, say that, oh, that wasn't a real, you know, Kitua, or that wasn't a real this or that. But we ended up just like supporting and agreeing to disagree, and you know, certain boots went there and certain boots stayed, and it all kind of happened. I saw a lot of people leave, you know, that gathering because of disagreements and questions, you know, about consensus and, you know, whether they're going to follow it or not. And it's been interesting to see how it changes and is organic and unique every year. But the consistent parts of it are what's really important to me. And that's what I've always said, like from my first rainbow experience, is that from my first observation, is that all these people with all these different beliefs and practices and you know, religions, languages, backgrounds, all this stuff, even people that disagree or were in relationships that are not, have kids and now not together, they keep coming back for this one central thing. They keep coming back you know, no matter what, because they're coming for this one thing that they can't agree on. And that's either, you know, whatever it is, you know, either to celebrate the solstice or to pray for peace or to protest or, you know, do whatever is that. What can we agree on? And so, I mean, that was just my experience, and I hope that it was relative to what was being asked. Joy to the side.
Yeah, that was relevant.
So, hi, is it, what's the topic, and what's the relevant to what exactly? This is Mez.
Oh, hey, Mez.
We were telling old rainbow stories and talking about Idaho 2020 and also talking about voting by consensus and voting with your feet or consensus by foot.
Okay, cool, right on.
Yeah, Mez, you have the feather. You want to tell what's on your mind?
Yeah, sure. I was just, yeah, sure. I'll just, I got a little bit to share. Not a whole lot, because I've only been counseling for a couple of years. So I'm not a real seasoned counselor, but I do, it's been a very real experience for me and a transformational experience for me to circle with other people and listen to them and have them listen to me. And, it's really been an eye-opener and an enlightener to be able to hear different ways people think and the different angles that they can bring to the table to make a more cohesive decision. But where I'm at right now, I'm in, like, I guess it'd be Central Oregon. I'm kind of outside of Eugene, about 30 miles outside of Eugene, and in this beautiful forest, and it used to be a slash and burn spot, and the person whose property I'm on came in and planted all of this. This is you know, he just planted this forest, and I always like I took some pictures, and the pictures don't do it justice. He's got all these very unique, it's a unique plant, it's a unique micro ecosystem here, and so you know, and I'm just getting an opportunity to learn a lot. And, you know, I was talking to another person on the property today. They were talking about, we were talking about Idaho 2020 and how there's, you know, there's going to be some people that show up there and get together. And so this, another fellow was saying, well, you know, there's a lot of people right now because of the breakdown in the system that seems apparent. You know, they're in a frenzy to learn the things that they could possibly learn at a gathering. And so, and the other person I was in conversation with that's on the land here said, you know, it's not a time to go cross country. It's a time to get together in our bioregions with other people in the know, and learn from them. And the micro thing and the pods, the bioregions, you know, there's a way to connect and learn what you need to learn without being a vector traveling across the country. And, you know, that's just my, I totally agree with, I can align with that. And that's kind of what I'm doing. Like, to me, there's a little more urgency or gravity in learning how, you know, having ways to take care of myself and to invest into the land. Because, you know, is it the times are critical right now, and so you know, the people that do show up, you know, I wish them well, and I hope that everything turns out okay or whatever. I hope that they prove me wrong, but at the same time, my decision is to stay right here and dig in the dirt and enjoy this beautiful land where I'm at. And as far as decisions go, council decisions, yeah, so council. Or the vision circle last year decided on Idaho as a spot, but the thing is that there wasn't a pandemic going on whenever that decision was made. And there was no way for us to foresee that. So I just made the decision for myself, and where I stand as an individual is if there's another gather, if we're ever able to gather again together, I'm going to go where you guys go. I'm going where you're at, Roach, and where you're at, Finch, where you're at, Joy, you know. I'm going to go and be with the people that I want to be with, regardless of
a decision. You know, yeah, I trust the people that show up at Vision Circles, and but at the same time, that there, I don't have to. It's not a law, and so you know, I think that each of us should just follow our hearts and do what our conscience dictates and what our hearts dictate. And for me right now, that's being right where I'm at. You know, I don't know if gathering is the best idea at this point. I don't think it is at all. Next to the side.
I wanted to say some stuff, if that's okay.
Please do.
I was noticing that, I remember novels saying before that there will definitely be at least some voices on the ground at Spring Council blocking a gathering occurring. I definitely heard Finch say that is one of the contingent, one of the possible outcomes, that the gathering gets blocked at Spring Council and just doesn't happen. Now, assuming that somehow whoever goes to block finds that they, in the end, stand aside or consent to a gathering happening, and a Vision Council were to happen, I do foresee a potential of a split gathering unless that Vision Council were to agree to Idaho 2021. I think it would be the best good faith move if it would show solidarity, it would show compassion, it would show listening, show all the things that love and the feather have in common.
Yes.
Just a thought. Okay. Sunshine to the side.
Thank you for your input, Sunshine. Yeah, let's.
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Who is this? We can hear you.
Ryan, I'm down here in Berkeley. I feel like we.
Oh, yeah.
Have,
please. You have the feather now. Is this Professor? You have the feather now.
Awesome. I feel like we already have basically that one holding camp in Montana, and then like three feed camps. Because what Red Dog and Aaron have been up to, like they're feeding people, they're doing the rainbow thing, urban style disaster relief kind of situation. The Bay Area is full of a bunch of marches and vigils and bike rides and ceremonies, and people from Rojava that are in solidarity with us. So like here, there's definitely a bunch of resources I can tap into, along with People's Park is having an event on the 20th. And then, dude, I don't have his name memorized, but he's been telling me all about Minneapolis. And apparently Minneapolis is really on top of their mutual aid game over there.
Is there any way you could drop less names as you tell your stories? That would make me more comfortable, because I'm not sure every single person consented to it. Unless you know for sure they consented to it. Anyway, back again.
Yes, all those people are posting publicly on Facebook that they're doing these things. Yeah, so that I just made a post. I don't think I named any names, so I just mentioned that about the seed camp. So I think we just have a really fair opportunity to try to call the seed camps there and question legitimacy of them having a spring council in Idaho when there's been people on the ground doing more important things for so long, especially because anyone who is at the Vision Council knows so many people stepped aside from the consensus when the statists were like trying to do tricky ways to get their ways, and they were even offered like using longitudinal latitude coordinates, and they wouldn't do that way. They instead do that force thing, which threw us a multi-state consensus. And even Val's initial thing was he really liked the idea of having a harvest council in Nevada. So I think that potentially we just say that like by merit of having boots on the ground, we can call spring council in order to try to engage in an emergency action that we think is more important to putting rainbow energy towards than having a gathering in Idaho. And then we throw in the solidarity statement on top. And if these people are trying to talk.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm ready to pass the feather and get some input and stuff, because I'm off the ground just doing this all the time, talking to people, so I forgot to talk to you guys about it. I'm sorry.
Hey, Professor, I'd like to address that. Can you give us some more information on the action happening in the People's Park? There's some more details, please, next to the side.
Yeah, just the committee, the last committee meeting I went to, they are trying to have in a solidarity thing in People's Park. So we have a free speech stage. We're trying to call in the community to get us the Bluetooth speakers, collect performers. I want people to teach workshops. In my, like, ideal fantasy world, if enough people come to plug into the Bay Area Gathering, there's different like, parks where we're going to have different workshops, and then we would call, like, a general assembly every couple days. There's, like, nature areas. Like, the nature walk is going to be cracking, because we can go to botanical gardens. So we're going to want to learn about a lot of plants really quick.
Hey, Professor, while you're on the line, Sunshine and I were discussing before this conference call happened, I was talking about sitting in vision council with you for many years, where you bring up having a gathering in People's Park. And now that I can't go to Idaho... And I feel like I shouldn't go to Idaho, rather. If I was going to gather Ohm from home in a micro environment, I would probably go to People's Park. And, like, we could actually have a gathering at People's Park this year. It was just like a Vision Council fairy tale coming true, you know? Like, I thought, I just wanted to share that with you.
Right? That's awesome. Yeah, I know other people that would that have said that a friend of ours lives like 5 miles from People's Park, and I think that you could count her in too. I'll PM you, Professor, or talk to let you guys talk to each other. But yeah, that's been mentioned before already. Yeah, right on. I'm all happy about that.
They're trying to do that 20th could be like a Facebook Live thing, Roach. I don't know if I can give you their contact information, the People's Park Committee. If you want to get performers or whatever, if you're free on the 20th, then they're trying to have this event and whatever. The committee just kind of foisted it out, and so it's just whatever. We have a free speech stage, and you can broadcast.
A free speech stage sounds like the perfect place for comedy. I could see if any of my friends want to brave the COVID and go out there. Thanks for that information.
Sweet.
And we can put the stage itself is a pretty good social distance, but we can put additional... like whatever social distancing measures, if it makes us feel more comfortable.
Interesting. Yeah, that's worth looking into.
Is it gonna be?
We've been doing outdoor comedy here at the radio station.
Is it gonna be like an
electric? Real quick.
Okay. I love you. I'm gonna leave.
We have about 12 minutes left.
Sunshine, you're going to leave.
And I'm going to go ahead and dip out now. And I love you, and thank you for including me.
Thank you for calling. Do
Sunshine
you have
out.
Anything you want to say?
Love you, Sunshine.
Before you go?
You know, I trust the circle. My voice is superfluous.
Beautiful.
I love you guys.
I love you, Sunshine. Thanks for calling in.
So what's the date on that, Professor? Do you guys have a date on that, or dates?
The 20th. I start at noon, but it's 2 o'clock, so if we want to start it earlier, if we want to continue it after, they don't want to do it, it's fine. We're just trying to source things for the community, for the sound system, and I'm just also encouraging people to host workshops.
Sweet. Nice. The 20th.
I was thinking it would be a good episode of this radio broadcast to do a Shantacena episode where people who know about it and have good stories call in, like later. After the normal gathering times, you know? but I think that would be a cool thing to do. So who's still on the line? Who's still on the line talking with us?
I am.
Finch here.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Wind is present.
Awesome. Thank you. The wind is present. Four winds present. It's It's good to hear. Okay, so we can start a stack or we can just keep talking. Does anyone have anything to add or say? I know we've been doing popcorn style. We have 10 minutes left, so if everyone just wanted to give like a brief last-minute statement, that would be cool. I think I want to pass it over to Thomas because he was the first one other than Sunshine to call in. So I think that you were the first one if you want to give your like closing statement before we have to end here.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely will. I just want to point out and thank everyone involved. I think that, yeah, and you know, I'm actually kind of embarrassed I didn't call into one of these conference calls sooner. You guys are doing a fantastic job at circumventing the unfortunate event where we can't really gather on the land safely, and so this is a very good way to do that. You know, I'm super proud of us as a group, and I think that that the greater us outside of Rainbow and in Rainbow can get better and is getting better. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I love y'all, and this is fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for calling in, Thomas. I think Finch was the next caller in. Do you want to give your closing statement? And anyone can plug in the other conference call, the real conference call. This is just a radio station podcast.
Oh, could you send me the other conference call or whatever?
Yeah, and I think we're going to plug in right here, but that, someone can send it. Yeah.
Well, I actually don't have the number quite ready to plug, but what I was going to say is that the conference call is something special, and it's not just about discussing this controversial topic. It's been a space that we've been holding for the last 3 months now so that Rainbows can be together every other day as we shelter in place and watch crazy things happen all around us in this country. It's been a place where people can check in with each other and vent, and we hope that regardless of what happens over the 4th of July, the conference call may just continue going, because it's been a space that a lot of people have expressed over and over again that they're grateful to have. So I'll found the number. I'm going to plug it one more time. If you guys have a pencil ready, the number, the Rainbow Gathering Conference Phone Circle, which is every 48 hours at 9 p.m. Eastern time, which is 6 p.m. San Francisco time. It's tonight and every other day. The number is 425-436-6350. I'm going to say that again. The number is 425-436-6350. And when you call in, there's an access code. And the access code that you enter is 377-587-pound. Again, the access code is 377-587-pound. You're welcome to call in any day. We love you. Welcome home. Finch to the side.
Thank you, Finch. So I think the next person that calls in was Novel. Do you want to give your like last statement for this podcast?
Sure. I'm sure I got something. I whipped something out. I'm not a notes guy or anything like that. Yeah, I mean, this is so very similar to the conference call, except it's hosted by you and it's on the radio. And so that's cool. It's good to hear your voice. You haven't done the conference calls because you have a life or whatever. And I understand that. I definitely have a lot of free time, so I am able to.
Hey, I did two. I did two of the conference calls. All right.
Right on. I think I've missed two of 40. I think tonight's 44 calls. What do I have to say? I don't know. If there are any rainbows listening to this radio show and you're still undecided, I really ask you to maybe not think with your heart so much and try to think with your mind a little more and try to think logically about the dangers of vectors and spreading disease. Like, I would love for whatever happens in Idaho to happen and to later find out that nobody
caught COVID at the gathering and that nobody in any of the local towns also caught COVID. I'd love to hear that that didn't happen. That would make me feel great. And I would even maybe go as far as to, like, say, like, I'm sorry that I overreacted, but I had the best interests of the health and safety of the family, the people of Idaho, in my mind, which is why I pushed as hard as I did for people to not gather. I would be more than willing to do that. I would love to be wrong. I think, like, that's something that people have been missing about the whole COVID situation, is that people are overreacting so that as the smallest amount of bad things happen. Like, it makes so much more sense to overreact and then have smaller collateral damage than to underreact and have huge damage. It just seems so obvious, and I urge anyone undecided just to really think about, would you want to have someone you know at the gathering's death on your hands because you gave them COVID? Or would you want to have a stranger, some grandma who lives in a town in Idaho's death on your hands because you wanted to go to the gathering? Like, that's not something that I'm personally comfortable with, and that's feasible, and so that's why I'm not going, and that's my urge. And with that, I'm going to sign out of this call and sign into the other one. Thank you so much, Roach, for hosting this.
Thank you, Novel. Thank you so much for calling in. I thought this was just a special thing to do as the gathering draws nearer. And yeah, we have 6 minutes left on this podcast and before the next conference call happened. But I think next on Stack, there's Joy and then Four Winds and Mez. If you all want to give in your, if you want to say a closing statement.
There's 5 minutes. Yeah. I do have something I want to say, but yeah, make it quick, please.
Yeah, sure. I was gonna sing a song. Deep inside my heart, I've got this everlasting light. It's shining like the sun. It radiates on everyone. And the more that I give, the more I've got to give. It's the way that I live. That's what I'm living for. Boom, boom, boom. Deep inside my heart, I've got this everlasting light. It's shining like the sun. It radiates on everyone. And the more that I give, the more I've got to give. It's the way that I live. That's what I'm living for. Boom, boom, boom. Loving you. Joy to the side.
Sure, yeah, loving y'all. This is Wins here, and I'm getting ready to sign off. It's been nice to be here with y'all. Thank you, Roach, for hosting this. And whoever hears this, if you leave with anything, just leave with the fact that we all love you. Whether we all agree about this, that, or the other thing, the one thing we all agree on is that we love you all very, very much. And we wish you nothing but health and happiness for all the days of your life. Wins to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love you.
And always will.
Forevermore. Yeah, I just want to say something real quick. Joy, if you have the chord to that and the lyrics, I would like to audition for that the next time we get together. So if you can PM me those. And my message.
Joy, okay. Finch here. I can get you the lyrics and the chords to that one.
Sweet.
Perfect.
Right on. So this is Mez, and my message to everybody is to remember to self-care. And sometimes that means stepping away from your devices, just setting it down, stepping away from the Facebook. It's a constant stream of sometimes positive, but a lot of times negative information, and we can only handle so much of that. So sometimes it's good for us just to step away from all the hubbub and to be in the here now
and focus on the beauty around you and do something nice for yourself. For me, that means stepping away and practicing on my ukulele. And, that's it. That's all I have to say. And I love you guys. And thank you. Thank you, Roach. Med to the